My name's Georgina Downs. I'm the founder and director of the UK Pesticides Campaign, which is basically an independent campaign that fights for people who live next to pesticide sprayed crop fields, which there's just no protection whatsoever for that category of persons. And of course, when I found this out 20 odd years ago, that there simply was no protection. There's protection for operators with protective equipment. They've got to wear, respirators, goggles, personal protective equipment. There's literally nothing for a resident who could be inches away breathing in the very same, toxic air that that an operator is required to have protection from. And once I found that out, and that complete, very perverse dichotomy, if that's the right word, between the two, then it needed somebody to take this on, which is what I started to do back in 2001.
Well, I lived in Biggin Hill years ago, and we had crops sprayed out the back of our house. Well, we used to actually get in the car when that was happening and leave, because it stank. But surely, I mean, this stuff is toxic to insects. It's not toxic to us.
Well, no, yeah, oh, absolutely toxic to human health. I mean, a lot of pesticides are neurotoxic, carcinogenic, toxic to the reproductive system, respiratory system. It can damage eyes. You've got a whole long list of different adverse effects that are on the safety data sheets that are provided by the manufacturing company of these pesticides. So you only have to look at these data sheets, and they say toxic to eyes, toxic to respirators. Some say toxic by inhalation. Some say maybe fatal if inhaled. Now, that's quite clear. But, if you inhale this stuff, it's going to not have a good outcome. So these are really toxic and dangerous, both in the short and the long term, because you can have acute effects, which are things like, burning eyes, sore throat, swollen throat, breathing problems, headaches, vomiting, or you can have long-term effects, like different cancers have been connected and associated with pesticides, and you've got a whole raft of different neurological conditions that have been connected to pesticides, like Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis.
How would you know if something that you've got is caused by pesticides? Is it possible to tell?
Well, in our case, we had blood and fat samples taken to check for pesticides in our system. So we had categoric proof and evidence that pesticides were found in our system. And the doctor that interpreted the results said that we had the most pesticides that she'd ever seen in our system. But both myself and my mother, has got advanced Alzheimer's, which was diagnosed a few years ago, and was connected by her neurologist as being, most likely to do with the fact that she's lived next to sprayed fields for so many decades and have been exposed to all of that. So, but when you have, like we had, found all sorts of different neurotoxic, we had organophosphates, we had carbamates, pyrethroids, organochlorines, a whole raft of different pesticides found in our blood and body fats. So when you have that, and when you go on to develop a condition that is known to be associated with pesticide exposure, then I don't think it really takes a, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to sort of connect the two.
What's happening with your High Court case now?
Well, basically in 2008, I won a landmark High Court victory against the government over its fundamental failure to protect rural residents and communities from pesticide exposure and from crop spraying with mixtures and cocktails of different chemicals that are used on fields, because it's not just one chemical that's used every now and again, it's a whole array of different mixtures that are used throughout every year. And so I took the government on for the failure to protect residents. It was accepted by the High Court, who said that there was, an absolute failure. Unfortunately, then, with the lots of shenanigans that went on, there was the higher court, the Court of Appeal, unfortunately ignored all the evidence that won in the High Court, substituted it with something else, and it got overturned. I then went to the European Court of Human Rights, hoping that that would be interested in, taking it forward. But at that particular time, they hadn't had a case of this sort, and so they didn't seem to be particularly interested in taking this forward on a human right basis. I think it has to be remembered that the European Court of Human Rights is just on the human right point. But actually, anybody with half a brain, I think, can see that it's got to be a breach of human rights. And that was upheld in the High Court, that it was a breach of Article 8, right to be able to enjoy your peaceful enjoyment of your property and your land.
I mean, we've got Bob King, who was the patron of the Soil Association. The organic farmers don't use pesticides. So do you think there's some positive signs with Charles taking over that maybe, you know, his dislike of this kind of thing might, you know, there might be some changes?
Well, we have to hope so, but I think there is a bit of concern with the fact that he's signed off on, or he's going to be signing off on the new genetically engineering bill that's gone through without any objection. Because I think you've got to remember that when they get to the rankings of he has now, then obviously he's not supposed to get involved in political stuff. And obviously he has done in the past. We have to wait and see what happens from here on in. But I think, yes, he's always been an advocate of organic food and farming, and organic farmers obviously can do things with I mean, I know, for example, Peter Kindersley, who owns Sheep Drove Farm, it has thousands of acres of organic land, and he hasn't used any pesticides, and hasn't used any pesticides for years. He's got a very profitable farming business. So, and there's others as well who farm very successfully without having to use any of these chemicals. So it's wrong for the industry and farming unions to say that pesticides are needed for food production. They're not. And actually, if you think about how much food is wasted from a food production point of view across not only the UK but across the world, there's a massive amount of food that's wasted. Then it's not a case of pesticides are needed. It's just a case of doing things differently, farming differently, different land use, different management structures, and just a different system altogether to solve this problem.
Yeah, well, I've done a little experiment with my tadpoles this year. That is to say, dropped a little bit of broccoli that wasn't organic in the tadpoles, and there were roughly 25 of them in there. Only one of them survived. So I'm wondering if actually there's much more to this dangers of pesticides than we're being told. It's not even marked on the food to say that it's got pesticides on it when you eat it.
Well, that's the thing, you see. If a supermarket had proper full-on labelling about all the ingredients that have gone into different foodstuffs when they are produced, so let's say for argument's sake, if there was an organic lettuce next to a non-organic lettuce, if the non-organic lettuce listed all the different pesticides that are used when it's food production, of which there is a lot, lettuce is one of the most heavily sprayed salad crops. Then not only that, but it then said next to it that the safety data sheet for each of those chemicals will say things like toxic by inhalation, don't consume, whatever. People might have a different thought process when they go to purchase their products. And I think it's all about information, isn't it? And access to information and full disclosure so that people can make an informed choice. You can't make an informed choice on anything in life if you don't have access to all the relevant information before you make that choice.
What do you think of this sort of balance between the power of the farmers and the power of the supermarkets? I do tend to prefer to go to the farm shops myself.
Yeah, I mean, supermarkets, they do have now, much more organic food and produce than they did in the past. There's no doubt about that. But it is still, the vast majority, the vast percentage of food is non-organic. And labelling is important to the consumer. It's absolutely right to be disclosed. Otherwise, people don't know. I personally... do shop in both, shops, small independent shops and supermarkets, because there's just, the convenience is there for supermarkets when you're trying to get a whole raft of different subjects. I shouldn't say that. But there is, obviously there is a whole raft of different things that you can get in a supermarket, not necessarily just foods. They expand out to other items now, clothes and other things. So, it is... there is no doubt that supermarkets and farming unions and farming businesses and the big landowners all still have way too much power in relation to this discussion about land use, production, sustainability, what is the right way to go. And unfortunately, these that have a lot of money, anybody else, particularly small independent campaigns like the one I run, But consumers and people who are, particularly those who are exposed to these things on a daily basis, for example, like people living next to farmland, they're the people that really know and understand the full impacts of these chemicals. And I think that's the difference between what I do and, say, for example, some NGOs who work on these issues, who don't necessarily live in this situation, who don't necessarily quite get it in relation to the risks, the impacts on health. You know, the what it does on a, you know, throughout a year, to have to keep, like what you said earlier, you have to keep getting in the car and going off because the fumes are so strong, sometimes they can linger for days. And it's only when people live in that situation that they know the impact on their daily life as well as on their health from pesticide spraying, you know, in the countryside. And then obviously you've got the issue with the end product.
If, honest, if some of the farmers would just literally, you know, tell people a few days before, saying, well, we're going to be doing spraying, you know, or maybe, do you think it's possible to ban these pesticides completely?
I think the three main things I've always been campaigning from in the campaign I run is access to information for residents to know exactly what's being sprayed so they can assess the risk, and prior notification at least 48 hours prior to spraying. But most importantly, because it's all well and good to be told you're about to be poisoned, but the fundamental point is you shouldn't be poisoned in the first place. So that is why the overriding call of the campaign has been to prohibit spraying in the locality of residents' homes, schools, playgrounds, you know, any area where vulnerable people could be, like hospitals, nurseries. There should be no spraying for a large distance. We're not talking about a tiny buffer here. We're not talking about small buffer zones. That's going to do nothing. This stuff can travel vast distances. You know, there's studies out there that show pesticides traveling up to 3 miles away from when they're applied and at high levels. So we're not talking about small buffer zones. We're talking about really big areas next to these places like homes, schools, playgrounds, where there is no pesticide use at all. And even you could have some farms where they've got a mix of farming. You know, they could have cattle, they could have you know, they could have some cereals, you know, whatever. And if they were to rotate and move around so that you've got the, you know, the nearest part, maybe the livestock, the cattle, and then you've got the spraying that's further away then. So that would be one possible, you know, way for some farms that are mixed to be able to do things. But there really should not be any spraying permitted near human habitation, near where people live and breathe, because of how toxic these chemicals are.
Maybe no spraying at all. I mean, you've painted a picture there.
Sorry, say again?
I said maybe no spraying at all. You've painted a picture there, you know, almost not of a weevil or a beetle shriveling up and dying, but people shriveling up and dying and not even knowing what's going on with it. Anyway, so how do people follow your campaign, Georgina?
Yeah, well, there's a website which is www.pesticideswithanscampaign.co.uk, and then I'm also on Twitter. Just look me up, Georgina Downs. I'm on Facebook. There's two pesticide campaign Facebook pages that escape me from the titles at the moment, so apologies for that. But yeah, there's various ways people can find me, and the actual overriding aim, I should just stress, is organic farming future, so not using any chemicals at all, and having a fully sustainable, green, organic, non-chemical food and farming production system.
Okay, Georgina Downs, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.